The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. Phil, Sunday did not go the way we wanted, but other than that, it was an outstanding week for Marquette basketball, and that's really where I want to keep the focus in today's show.
Yeah, it ended a little rough, but, you know, listen, when you're soaring really high, sometimes you just come down to the earth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we were entering Sunday wondering, gosh, if Marquette wins this game, will the Golden Eagles be ranked? Well, we don't have to worry about that right now.
Right, but, right. Pump the brakes on the ranked talk.
Yeah, so maybe got a bit of a nosebleed there. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the loss to St. Bonaventure, which was tough to get through. But really, I just start with just kind of a general statement on the week. And, love the effort. I think the lesson we've learned is never get down by 13. If you're down by 12, this team can still rally and win. That's the magic number. Marquette did that three times this week.
Yeah,
against
yeah.
Illinois, against Ole Miss, and against West Virginia, and beat them all. So Marquette's already got three power conference wins in the non-conference, which is probably about two more than I thought they might get, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right, right. I mean, we were coming into this week, you know, in the last podcast, we said, hey, look, let's go 2-2 this week. Well, they went 3-1, and those three wins were high quality wins, right? Like, I mean, honestly, like if someone had said you're going to go 3-1 this week before we recorded the podcast last week, would we have even picked the three wins that we had? You know, like I probably would have gone, well, we lose to Illinois and we somehow win the Charleston Classic. But like, I just 3-1 is pretty remarkable for a team, the team that we have in front of us. And I think the big thing for me is Marquette basketball is fun again.
It is very fun. You know, if you follow the team on social media, like Phil and I do, I mean, I love to have Twitter open during a game. Patrick Leary and the Anonymous Eagle guys had a couple Twitter spaces, if you know what that is, where it's essentially kind of just a live chat, I guess you would call it, on Twitter after the game. A bunch of fans were jumping in after two of the wins this week, the Illinois win and the West Virginia win, I think it was. And I just think it just speaks to the buzz around this team that after a couple wins this week, we all felt like, hey, let's all jump in together in a big group chat and just talk about this team. It's like almost like a community forum talking about how well the team's been playing, and it was a lot of fun. And I you could feel the excitement around the team just kind of by checking the temperature on social media or texting your friends, or I've people texting me about Marquette basketball that haven't texted me about Marquette basketball in like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
There are people who are excited about this team again who just haven't been excited about it for a while. So, and the Illinois win was awesome. And yeah, like, yes, we all fully realize Illinois did not have Kofi Coburn, but Illinois was still an 8-point favorite in that game in Marquette's building. And it's still a win over a top 10 team, as it was. Illinois was, I think, still like the number two defense in KenPom. Granted, that was just two games in, but Illinois played terrible, and a lot of that can be a credit to the way Marquette played in that game, and then you go and you're underdogs in the next two games after that, beat Ole Miss, beat West Virginia. Just great resolve in those games. Again, I mentioned they were down 12 points in all of the games they won this week, and I've seen Marquette teams fold quite a few times over the last few years in similar situations, or at least have a, you know, hopeless rally that would always fall like 4 or 5 points short. But to come all the way back, and just the way they blew out West Virginia, just blew the doors off West Virginia in the second half of that game,
right,
was just impressive. So what I'm trying to say, Phil, is I enjoyed watching Marquette basketball all four games this week. Yeah, Sunday sucked, but it really didn't suck too much enjoyment for me out of the week.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, the St. Bonaventure result, maybe not against, you know, you never know what team it's going to be against, but you know, there was always going to be a clunker in the batch, right? Like, one, Marquette was not going to win forever. And two, with 10 freshmen on the roster, was not going to be, you know, invincible in a dogfight in every game, right? There was going to be a clunker. So, you know, you say, hey, tip the cap, say, all right, you got us this time, Bonnies, and move on. But I think the resiliency of the team overall is something that's pretty impressive, because even in that St. Bonaventure win, if you think about it, this team played four games in 6 nights. That's a lot for an inexperienced team to take on. And when you think about the emotion they probably expended, not to mention the exertion to come back, you know, Illinois was up 12 with, what, 6 minutes to go? You know, Mississippi was up in the early second half. West Virginia was up at halftime for sure by at least 12, right? That's a lot of exertion that the team has to make. And they probably just ran out of gas against the Bonnies, and you know that happens, but it's still fun
and
the to
Bonnies,
see the culture.
Yeah, this was a point I think the broadcast team made several times.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I muted them after a while.
Yeah, but St. Bonaventure is one of the most experienced teams in college basketball.
Yeah,
they returned like I guess all of their starters.
Their five starters are 23-year-old like double seniors.
Right. So their experience compared to Marquette's experience, they're like polar opposites, where Marquette's got nine guys who are either first or second year college players. I'm still struggling with how we're designating our players this year.
Yeah.
I may get the hold of it by the time we get to Big East play, but like calling Justin Lewis a freshman is still weird to me.
Yeah, that is really weird.
But
I don't care for
it. But you guys know what I mean, right?
Right.
You guys know what I'm talking about as far as how young Marquette is. And I think it showed a little bit. Maybe it showed a lot in the Bonaventure game. That press got picked apart by an experienced team. They passed right over it, passed right through it. Hardly turned the ball over. Bonaventure controlled the pace of the game. Bonnies like to play slower. And they limited possessions. They got the most out of their possessions. And Marquette struggled shooting the ball. And struggled to get the ball in the paint. And so when you're not scoring, you can't set up that press to get more turnovers. So Marquette just never got in a rhythm, and that's just kind of a credit to Bonaventure. They knew what was coming from Shaka Smart, and they were ready for it, and they just kind of – not just kind of, they just flat out did whip Marquette's ass on Sunday. But it's fine.
Yeah, well –
I think it's a learning experience, and they'll grow from it.
Absolutely. But I also – Well, I also think the other thing to keep in mind is one of the reasons, and I don't know that this is going to be true every time, right? But one of the issues with the pressing style defense that Marquette wants to play is you got to put the ball in the basket so that the other team is taking it out from under the basket to really give your 94 feet of hell, you know, a chance to set up, right? So when Marquette didn't hit a bucket until what, the 9 minute mark in the second half, something ridiculous like that. So you're never setting up your defense, and then you're playing essentially half court defense or a three quarter court trap. So you're a lot more jumbled up. So, you know, the defense didn't help the offense, but then certainly the offense didn't help the defense. And it was a lot of jump shots, and you can chalk it up to dead legs and inexperience, and you know, you move on. But I mean, when you think about like the potential we saw this week that was unlocked from the team, that's what's exciting, right? Because the first couple of games we thought, oh man, this is going to be a garbage shooting team, and they can very much be a garbage shooting team on any given night. But you know, especially against West Virginia and Mississippi, you know, Justin Lewis unlocked his 3-point shot and shooting generally. Kolick looked a lot better as a shooter. Daryl Marcel had an awful game against St. Bonaventure, but you know, before that was shooting quite well. So if the team can kind of even itself out, right, let the highs not get too high and the lows not get too low, I mean, this team is right where we thought they would be, if not ahead of the curve, right? They're at least an
NIT. I would have to say
team.
Ahead for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not expect to be sitting here before, you know, the week of Thanksgiving with only one loss. I think we all expected more than that. But what would you say you learned the most, or maybe what they showed you more of in these few games, maybe from a player standpoint, that maybe we didn't see after those first two games against Edwardsville and New Hampshire, which, while they were wins, they weren't very inspiring wins. You know, they kind of had us, the way they played against those bye teams, kind of has wondering that, thinking that we might be in for a rough week this week.
Yeah, I think the thing that most stuck out to me was, and I, in one of our Twitter space conversations, I apologized in there for talking about Cam Jones being the real life Leroy Jenkins meme. But, you know, Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell and some of the guards on this team, I think, are certainly more consistent than I thought they would be, right? Like, Cam Jones takes some shots where you're like, no, I would not do that. But then they go in, and he plays with an energy that you certainly don't want to stifle. So I was pretty impressed with Cam Jones. He kind of showed me more than I thought he actually had.
Our friend Ruby Q calls him Cam Stones. I don't hate it.
No, I'm good with it.
He has no fear, but yeah, like what your original comment was essentially, and I didn't disagree with it, was that, you know, Cam loves to shoot, man. He will shoot, and Shaka loves letting him shoot. And I think that's something, I forget who it was, but maybe multiple people kind of in the Twitter chat or in the Twitter space talk about how a team is kind of reflects the personality of its coach. And when Shaka is, you know, a little looser and lets guys make mistakes, and does it like immediately yank them when they take a bad shot and say, look, yeah, Cam, I know you've just missed three bad shots in a row, but I still want you shooting when you're open.
Right.
And so he does. And he had some big shots this week. And that's good for Cam's confidence, not just this year, but over the next 3 years as his career develops as a Marquette Golden Eagle. That he's got a coach who believes in him. Even when he's struggling, he's going to leave him out there and still draw up plays for him. Even when he's maybe had a rough go of it for a few possessions. And I love to see the shots Cam Jones hit this week. You mentioned Tyler Kolick. He got off to an ice-cold start from three. I think he's starting to find it a little bit. He didn't have much of a game against St. Bonaventure, but then again, nobody did.
Right.
So he's coming around. And Justin Lewis woke up in the Illinois game after maybe a really quiet first two games. Justin Lewis is showing us kind of what we really thought coming into the season, that he would be the guy for this team, like the go-to offensive player. And he showed that in the Illinois game, especially the Mississippi game. That's where he really started hitting threes. I've got all these wins confused now. He didn't hit any threes in the Illinois game, but he played well. But the Mississippi game was when he really started bombing threes, and he continued that against West Virginia. So he's starting to find his stroke, find his confidence. So So that was great to see. I think the interesting thing is, you know, we got Greg Elliott back, and they're still kind of working him in, Phil.
Right.
He hasn't played a whole lot. And see, that's the thing that can happen when you get suspended or if you get injured and you miss time. Some of the guys who fill in for you may take your spot. I'm not saying Greg can't get it back, but when, you know, Cam Jones hits the big shots like he did, that kind of warrants a little more playing time. And to continue going out there. And, you know, Stevie Mitchell has certainly a spot in the rotation. Not necessarily much of a scorer just yet. But so I'm interested to see how much more Greg Elliott works back into the minutes rotation over the next few weeks, because he's got some catching up to do, it seems.
Yeah, I Greg was not, you know, ready off the bench like we thought he would be, and yeah, that's hopefully he'll get there, and if he doesn't, you know, he doesn't, right? We play with what we got. The team showed potential without him, so, you know, if anything we get out of Greg is kind of found money at this point. But yeah, I think the biggest, and I don't think this is shocking at this point because a lot of people have talked about it, but like Daryl Morcell has been a real gem, right? Like I just really wonder what the heck Mark Turgeon was thinking in not like re-recruiting or like whatever he needed to do to keep Daryl Morcell there, because, you know, yes, he didn't have a great game in the St. Bonaventure game, but he has been a revelation for Marquette and is rapidly climbing my my chart of favorite players in the last decade. Just simply in his tenacious defense, but also his kind of cold-blooded offense, right? Like, you know, most of the time he's taking a shot when the team needs to settle down and making it, even if it is a, you know, a 16-foot jumper, and, you know, he can hit the threes and he can drive and he's a calming presence. And I would say he's probably right now, early returns, he's probably the best player Shaka recruited on this young team, right? I think he's the best player on this team right now, consistently anyway.
0 20-point games in his career at Maryland, 4 in his first 4 games as a Marquette Golden Eagle. Now, he just had 11 against West Virginia, and again, he had a rough night against St. Bonaventure, as we mentioned, but again, everyone did. But yeah, like your point about how Turgeon let him get away is interesting. Now, he did play 4 full years, and maybe he just felt it was time to turn the page and try something else. But don't tell me Maryland couldn't use him this year, because I'm sure they can. I mean, Maryland's good, but they're not so good that, like, we don't need Darryl Morsell. So I guess it's just a matter of he wanted to be able to score a little more and have more of a prominent role, and that's what happened. But Marquette is, Maryland's loss is Marquette's gain. And, I mean, this team would be in a world of hurt without Darryl Morsell, that's for sure, because his defense has been great. Like I said, 4 20-point games have been critical. I'm not sure how many of those, maybe none, maybe only one of the first 4 games Marquette wins without Darryl Morsell. Because, like you said, Phil, you've compared him to Jarrell McNeil in a few times, and I think the comparison is pretty good. At least, like, late career Jarrell McNeil, like his last couple seasons when he had really developed as a scorer, and, you know, Jarrell was always a great defender. But Morsell, there are some similarities there, and I'll take a Jarrell McNeil on my team any day of the week, and Morsell is in that vein, that type of player.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think the big thing is just the experience, and that he just seems calm and collected, which I think is important for this team, because there's a lot of excitable fellas on the team, right? You know, Cam Jones is being one that we've already highlighted, but a lot of youth on the team, and he's able to deliver that. But what was nice is, even in the West Virginia game, Morsell and Kerr Quoth were both in foul trouble in the first half, and were able to play most of the second half, but the team stepped up without them. So there is, again, games like tonight are going to happen. Well, games like Sunday night are going to happen. You're going to have those lows, but the ability to pick different pieces off the bench, kind of. You know, build around who the hot hands are and who the steady hands are. I think that's going to be really interesting from a Shaka standpoint, to see how he uses the various pieces he has, how he kind of builds. You know, is he going to have an 8-9-10 man roster, you know, that he's playing consistent minutes, or is he going to slowly start to whittle it down to, you know, here are my 7, maybe 8 guys that I have, right? Like, there's a lot of pieces and a lot of potential. I'm just curious to see how he uses that potential for the last, what, 6 games of the non-conference schedule?
Yeah, and figure out what he's going to do when he gets into Big East play. But, you know, you mentioned Kerr Quoth for a minute there, and his, obviously, biggest game of the week was the West Virginia game, where, you know, he did not, at least where you saw his impact, because he barely played in the first half because of foul trouble, and Marquette was down 11, you know, 10, 11, 12 at half, and then he's there for pretty much all of the second half, and he is just altering shots. He had an offensive rating of 205. I'm not sure I've seen that. Yeah. On KenPom.
Blew my mind.
You know, he was 4 for 4 from the floor, 8 points. He had 3 blocks unofficially. I felt it was like 8. Because it just seemed like he was just altering shots and making things so difficult for West Virginia in the paint. And, you know, it just shows you, like, I guess I don't know if ceiling's the right word, but when he's at his best, what kind of an impact he can have on a game. And it really showed in that West Virginia comeback for Kirkweath.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that was one of those, you know, where you kind of finally recognize the value. Because like you said, the first couple of games of the season, the team struggled against admittedly lesser talent. You're kind of wondering, or at least I was, you know, what's Quath going to be able to deliver, you know, was playing fewer minutes. But then that West Virginia game was kind of an eye opener, like, oh man, is this what we're going to get? So I think there's still more time to kind of put the pieces together for the conference season. Right. And really focus on that. But it has been he was a bit of a revelation, and you know, is almost literally eating souls down in the block with some of the, you know, the one play that just kind of blew my mind was when he blocked it to Daryl Morcell, which immediately started a fast break transition the other way, and Morcell got the dunk. And I was like, man, if he can do that a couple of times a game, that's a page turner for sure.
Trying to think who else I want to sing some praises of as we look back on the week. Tyler Kolek, we mentioned he, you know, maybe finding his shot a little bit after he got off to a rough start. I don't think he made a single three in his first two games. Had a few fall for him this week. His percentage on the year still isn't very good, but that's going to climb back up. But he was particularly good in the West Virginia game. He was 4 for 8 from downtown. And how much did you love, you know, I guess this is a case of you love it when it happens to you, and you hate it, or you hate it when it goes the other way. But when Kolek was singing "Take Me Home, West Virginia,"
yes,
was singing "Country Roads" with the Marquette fans who were in attendance in Charleston, kind of throwing a little mockery at our old friends, the Mountaineers. Now, granted, we hated when the shit talk came our way against the Bonnies, but that's another topic for another time, perhaps. But Kolek just joining in with the fans. It was funny. I was laughing so hard because we love to troll West Virginia because they were part of the whole downfall of the Big East, of course, when they ran off to the Big 12 and then Buzz dancing on their court at the end of the, I guess that was the last time we played in Morgantown, was just an all-time moment. And so to have a new trolling West Virginia, trolling Huggy Bear moment, and Kolek right in the middle of it, I just love the hell out of that. So I love the way he's playing, but I also love his attitude, the swagger he brings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see some swagger on the team. And listen, you know, I don't think the trolling of West Virginia, a known foe, and it's very light trolling at that, compares to the Bonnie stuff, whatever, I'm over it. But I think the important part that you're mentioning is the swagger, right? Like, this team needs to play with a little bit of the chip on its shoulder, needs to kind of really, you know, kind of take that, oh, hey, we're expected to finish 10th or 9th in the Big East. Let's go show them how to play and show them that we deserve better. I think that's the edge the team needs to play with. And quite frankly, Shaka is kind of coaching like he's got that edge, right? You know, we've seen just countless, you know, floor slaps from Shaka. He was getting a little, I think it's fair to say, a little pissy with the St. Bonaventure staff and fans. I don't know what was going on there, but you know,
yeah, I wonder, was there like leftover tension from the Atlantic 10 days? Because I guess VCU was in that league for a couple years with Shaka before he left for Texas, and I don't know, there seemed a little more vitriol than I expected. Now I've started to hear some comments on Twitter that Bonnie fans are actually notorious for that kind of attitude with everybody, but boy, they were just laying into Shaka, and yeah, Shaka did not appreciate the late timeout, I guess, to sub in the walk-ons or whatever it was. But whatever. But yeah, I was a little surprised at how tense it got towards the end.
Yeah, well, even in the handshake, Shaka was classy enough to shake hands, but he was not going to stick around to have a conversation with the Bonnies.
Was it the typical like Tom Crean blow by handshake? Like
no. Shock, you know, eye contact handshake, but like was then ready to move on. Like he wasn't like blowing on or being disrespectful. He was just moving on, and the other coach kind of held his hand and grabbed his arm and wanted to talk in his ear, and you could see Shaka like, all right, man. All right.
Good game. Go to hell. See you later.
Yeah. Like he was like, all right, I'd like to move on. Thank you. You know, like good for you. Great. Moving on. Well, that's okay. I've already got a Bonnie fan jumping into my Twitter mentions. So I don't know. Whatever. Moving on. I can't wait till they lose to a 12 seed in the first round in the NCAA tournament. That'll be great. but anyway. It was a great week. Like, there's nothing to get mad about.
Yeah, so I guess big picture, Phil. So I think you know the phrase we keep kicking around: Marquette is back. But how back? Like what is back? And are expectations shifting a little bit? And if so, should we shift them at all? Or like I don't think I'm ready to say this team should make the tournament. I don't think I'm there yet because. You know, it was a good week, but this is still a young team with flaws that showed up in a big way on Sunday. How back are we, I guess, is my question for you.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think, you know, Anonymous Eagle wrote an article before the Charleston Classic kicked off, you know, after the Illinois loss, saying, well, look, just pump the brakes. One game doesn't change the whole trajectory, right? The question is, does three games change the trajectory? I mean, again, I think I'm more confident than ever that this team has the ability to finish in the you know, at least the middle, if not the top half of the Big East, right? Like, they've shown that. So I think the ceiling of what this team is able to do, I think that's raised. I think the floor is kind of where the floor always was, right? Like I still think they're likely to be an NIT team, you know, somewhere just around or just above 500 overall. But I think the potential to do more than that has increased as well. So I think it's a weird way of saying I think expectations have raised a little bit, but not a lot, at least in my mind.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ready to raise expectations, but I do think I'm ready to raise the floor. I'm trying not to talk like Michael Jordan and say the ceiling is the roof and all that stuff.
But, yeah, you don't want to be mean.
I think before the season, I would have said, you know, and I probably did say, the floor is last place. Like, if this team doesn't come together, if maybe some of the new guys just aren't as good as we thought, I would have said last place is something I could see. You know, granted, we're still early on here, but I would dare say I would be truly shocked if they finish below Georgetown, DePaul, and maybe even Creighton in the Big East. I think they're better than those teams. We'll see on Creighton, I guess. Again, it is still early, but I would be truly shocked if they finish behind Georgetown. Now, DePaul, hey, shout-outs to the win over Rutgers. Good for them. That kind of like the icing on the cake of the win in the Gavitt games. So that was nice. It was a good week for the Big East, too, for the most part. It would have been nice if you know, Marquette and Villanova could have finished it off with wins on Sunday. Neither one did.
Poor Villanova, huh?
Yeah. That was a tough one. Purdue's pretty awesome, though. So I don't think there's any shame in losing to Purdue, but not to get off topic. But good week for the Big East overall, including DePaul beating Rutgers. But I would, again, going back to my point, I would still be pretty shocked if this Marquette team finished below DePaul. So maybe I'm raising the floor a little bit and thinking ninth is the absolute worst they could do. And I'm thinking more seventh, eighth, maybe even better. We'll see how the rest of the league shakes out. But that, I guess that's the only shift I would make, is the team's a little ahead of schedule, but the flaws are still going to show up against probably a lot of teams this year. We still got a few power conference games left. Yes, we have the Badgers. We got to go to Manhattan. Going on the road is always tough. I mean, Marquette has still not played a true road game yet. And the UCLA, one of the top teams in the country, is going to be coming to the Fiserv Forum. So those will all be tough games. And then, you know, getting the Big East play. So there will be nights like this again, I promise you. But that will not change my overall perception of the team is that I think Shaq is doing a pretty good job. I like the pieces he has here. I think almost everybody on the team showed me something this week for the most part. Like even Omax Prosper, who maybe has some lapses here and there, like, but he had a quiet like 8-9 against West Virginia. You know, he does little things here and there. I don't know if he'll ever have a game where he leads the team in scoring or leads the team in rebounding. But I think everybody showed me at least a little something this week, what they could bring to the team. And then you, so if you've got like 8, 9, 10 guys who all show you a little something, you hope at least a few of them are on any given night. And you could have nights like Marquette had this week when you beat a team like Illinois or West Virginia or Ole Miss. So overall, it was just a great week to be a Marquette basketball fan. The buzz is back. The excitement is back. And I hope it leads to louder and more packed crowds at Fiserv Forum. And that's going to be exciting for the team and just the university as well. So,
yeah, I'm really curious to see what the crowd is like. So Marquette has 6 days off and then plays Northern Illinois, which, you know, based on what we've seen so far, they should be able to handle relatively straightforwardly. But I'm really curious to see, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. So some of the students will, or most of the students will obviously be back home. But I'll be curious to see what the fan attendance and enthusiasm will be at that game, because, again, you know, at least we all know Twitter is in real life, but like at least in social media circles and you know, news broadcasts and stuff, it seems like Marquette is back in the mindset in southwestern or southeastern Wisconsin. So, you know, that'll be a bit of a tell is what the enthusiasm is like in on Saturday for their first game back since this great week that they had.
That's a good point. It's an unfortunate home game to have after this great week. It would be awesome if, like, the UCLA game was this coming Saturday, right?
Right.
Because then it would be, you would think it would be jam-packed, even if it was Thanksgiving week. But it's, like you said, it's Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of students are probably going to be home against a 1-3 Illinois team, Northern Illinois team, I should say. They beat Washington, interestingly enough, to start the season.
Inexplicable.
Since then, they've lost to Indiana, Missouri, and Boston. And they have a game against Little Rock on Monday before they take on your Marquette Golden Eagles. But yeah, like the a team that's 3-19 in KenPom, that's 1-3 on the year, is not going to like get those 50-50 fans to say, you know what, I'm going to go tonight. That's I'll watch it on TV type game, and then maybe we'll catch them next week. But yeah, your point is well taken, though, that the excitement on Twitter may not be as loud as it is in real life, but it has to be cranking up at least a little bit around the city of Milwaukee and around the fan base, because if you watch these games this week, or I don't know how you can't be at least a little bit excited about this team and where Shaq is going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's, you know, it's kind of like they've cleaned out the air, you know, they've replaced the filter on the HVAC system, and we're just breathing cleaner air now with Shaka, right? Like, you know, the HVAC system might still be a little, you know, a little rickety and have some issues down the line, but it just feels nicer than anything we had before. So I think we're all basking in a little bit of that glow. We had a great week. We're gonna see, you know. The next two games should be straightforward victories, right? I mean, we've got, you know, we'll pod before the Jackson State game, obviously, but with Northern Illinois coming up, I mean, Ken Pom's got it at 97% guarantee that Marquette wins and relatively handily. So, you know, it's kind of a moment to reflect on what they've done, let the team kind of reset their bodies. You know, 4 games in 6 nights is not easy. I don't care how young you are. That's a lot, you know, especially with all the travel and you know, it's so we'll see where this team goes and kind of enjoy the, you know, the last, we've got five games of the non-conference. It's a little weird. I feel like it's way more compressed than usual, and I don't know that I care for it, but
I had a few friends text me like saying, you've played 5 games already, that or you know, six games already? That seems like a lot. I'm like, maybe it is, but I guess it's because a lot of the, maybe some other teams have tournaments Thanksgiving week, and maybe they just haven't played quite as many games. Like a lot of teams only played like three games so far. So, yeah, they got after it pretty quickly here, and now they get at least a little break, and I guess maybe hopefully some of the team can, I don't know if they'll get to spend Thanksgiving with their families necessarily, but hopefully get to enjoy maybe a little time off this week and rest up and get, again, what you said should be a relatively, hopefully, easy win against Northern Illinois. But, you know, the first two bye games got a little interesting both times, so we'll see how that game goes. But, yeah, it should be hopefully two relatively easy wins, and then you've got the Badgers coming up the week after that. So still plenty to learn about this team.
Yeah. Well, and plenty to enjoy, right? We've gotten a taste of what the team can do, and now we just got to see if Shaka's got more of that in the oven, or if, you know, if it was just kind of the one move they had. We'll find out here over the next, you know, couple of weeks. It'll be interesting, right? We don't know if UCLA is going to be just a monster of a game, right? Like that's going to be really tough to set expectations, and Kansas State on the road is going to be tough. Wisconsin on the road is always tough, right? So, you know, the fact that they're 5-1 now with five to go in the non-conference, I think we said something like that they would finish what, like 5-6 in the non-conference. So we're kind of coming out way ahead right now.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves talking like NCAA tournament resume. But the fact is, they are giving themselves a little breathing room where if they could get to the point they could be close to a 500 team, maybe even a game or two below 500 in the Big East, the resume might be close. It might be there. It's, you know, I think you've probably got to beat Wisconsin and Kansas State, which are both doable, right. I think. You're almost certainly going to lose to UCLA. But if you get out of the non-conference with only two losses, I don't know if I'd necessarily set the expectation at make the tournament or it's a disappointment, but you would think there's a path there to get to the tournament if you've only got two losses. And again, we're maybe getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because, you know, we saw what happened on Sunday. But yeah, it speaks to the whole ahead of schedule thing, because I think we did our little preseason predictions with the rest of the MUBB pack with Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle and Crack Sidewalks. And I think most of us had either 6-5, maybe 5-6. Even the optimistic ones may have had 7-4 non-conference. So I suppose 7-4 is kind of where it could still go if you're looking at KenPom, if you win the next two and then you lose Wisconsin, Kansas State, and UCLA. But that's the low end right now from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and to your point, you know, let's say they go 9-2, which, I don't know that that's the new bar. I don't know that we could expect that. But that means they'd have, you know, three wins against top 50 teams. And the two losses in the non-conference would be Q1 losses, right? Like, that's a good resume. Right. So I think the key to this team is obvious, you know, the key to the next, you know, 3 weeks for this team is you got to win those bye games. And at a minimum, I think you got to beat one out of two, Wisconsin or Kansas State. And if you win one of those two, at least, even if you go, you know, 8-3 with, you know, three top 50 wins in, you know, two out of the three losses being Q1 losses, You've set yourself up for some potential success, especially because some of the Big East teams seem less challenging they might otherwise, right? You mentioned DePaul, you mentioned Creighton, Georgetown doesn't look good. I don't think Butler looks good. You know, so there's some teams you can get 8, 9, 10 wins in the Big East off of some of the lesser teams, and with your non-conference schedule, you're putting yourself in a position to at least be considered, which, again, the bar, that was always the expectation. I thought it was going to be potentially a little more angsty to get there, but this is shaping up like this team might be comfortably in the conversation. Doesn't mean they're going the NCAA, but they're at least going, they're in a place where they should be able to be in that conversation. That should be the
I feel good about getting the NIT right now.
100%.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, because basically all you got to do, you got to finish above 500 to do that, and I think to be at least considered, I think they'll get enough wins. So let's say, you, like you said, let's say they end up 8-3, and if you end up 8-12 in the Big East, what's that? 16-15. So yeah, if you lose your first Big East game, Big East tournament game, you're 16-16. So you're there. You would be eligible, and I think that might be close enough to get there. But again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's see how the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks shake out.
Yeah,
let's start getting crazy talking about postseason stuff. But
yeah, let's reconvene after the Wisconsin game.
They put themselves in a position that they can dream about it, right?
Right.
As opposed to if they went out and got their doors blown off this week and went 0-4, say, well, clearly a building year.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I think this, you know, there is, in the micro sense, there are some downsides that we saw this week, but in the macro, there's nothing but enthusiasm to have for this team going forward. They're at least no worse than you know, I shouldn't say that. They're better than the worst case scenario, and you know, that's a great place to be sitting right now.
We kind of touched on Northern Illinois a little bit. I don't know if I want to dive in a deep dive on this game too much, but we'll touch on it real quickly. It'll be Saturday, November 27th, 7 o'clock Central Time. I think it's on FS2. That is Northern Illinois at the Fiserv Forum. Again, we mentioned they are 319 in KenPom as we're doing this on Sunday night. So, again, this is a game you would hope would be a relatively easy win. Interesting, coached by a former DePaul player. Stand with me. Rashawn Bruno. Played at the ball. He was 2-5 in his career against the Marquette Golden Eagles back in those days. But yeah, former DePaul player. He's been an assistant under Billy Donovan and Bobby Hurley since then, and now he's getting his chance to coach Northern Illinois. They fired their coach from last year, so I guess this is his first season there. So they are also building a little bit. Maybe building a lot at Northern Illinois this season. Again, not to dive into it too much, but Phil, this is a team that Marquette should, you would think, probably smoke, hopefully win comfortably. Talk about red numbers and green numbers on KenPom. A lot of red numbers for them. Their effective field goal percentage is one of the worst in Division One. They turn the ball over a lot. Not a great rebounding team. Two-point percentage. Wow, literally dead last. Wait, is there 354 teams now? Is that how many teams there are?
Yes. Yes, there are.
Yeah. So, yeah, dead last. 2-point percentage.
No, 355 teams. So, second to dead last. Sorry.
So, there's 358. So, no, they're fourth to last or fifth from last. So, the point remains, not a good 3-point shooting – or not a good 2-point shooting team, I should say, Northern Illinois. So, and Marquette actually has a lot of green numbers on KenPom. None of them are bright green, which means you're like really good. But most of the numbers offensively for Marquette, pretty decent. At least average to above average, and the defensive numbers about the same. So,
well, and here's the one good thing. The other good thing,
Northern win on Saturday.
Yes, and Northern Illinois is terrible at offensive rebounds. So our one real fatal flaw, you know, they're not going to be able to take advantage of. Again, you should blow the doors off of them. And actually, from a schedule timing and kind of a results standpoint, right? Like Shaka has 5 days to really kind of, you know, I'm sure they're going to get some time off and whatnot, but has 5 days to like make them revisit that St. Bonaventure result and, you know, say, look, you guys weren't as good as you thought you were. You got your doors blown off. Let's refocus. Let's re-energize and let's build anew. Right. So then I think Northern Illinois is going to be, if I'm predicting, I think that's going to be a blowout from start to finish. Like, I would be surprised if this team comes out lethargic or similar to how they came out against New Hampshire and SIU Edwardsville. I just think the team's going to have more energy and more urgency because Shaka is not going to take his foot off the gas.
You know what else was not a great week was my picks on the take my money. Off to a rough start there.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue Marquette just doesn't want your money, is what it seems to be.
I guess not. Oddly enough, my record on Take My Money is the opposite of the team's record. When they've lost, they hit the mark in garbage time against St. Bonaventure when they were kind of pressing the backups and got enough turnovers. If you missed it, I set the if you've missed the whole gig, the gimmick. In total, I'll summarize it. Basically, before each game, I'm setting a challenge for hope that Marquette will hit. Maybe it's something statistically. Maybe it's covering the spread. Maybe it's just win. But bottom line is, if they hit it in that game, that kind of checks the box for that game, and I will make a $10 donation to the Blue and Gold Fund, and at the end of the season, I'll total it up and make that donation. Encourage others to join in if you like, for whatever amount you are comfortable with. But I went 0-5 in the first five games, all wins. So like I don't think the challenges were all that tough. Especially the Illinois game, I set it at shoot 30% from three, and they didn't. But they still won the game.
Yeah,
and
it's crazy.
I thought, and thing is, I set one of the games, or yeah, the West Virginia game. I set it at, let's get Greg Elliott involved, get him. 8 points. Turns out didn't really need Greg Elliott, because when I made that pick, I thought this team would really need a boost offensively, but apparently, obviously, they got a boost offensively from a lot of other guys, so Greg Elliott's input or offensive scoring was not needed in that game. So, but yeah, the one I set for the Bonaventure game, I thought you got to turn them over a little bit, or you need Kirkweth to be dominant in the middle again. So I set it as a combination of 15, either Bonaventure turnovers or Marquette blocks. So some combination of that. And the number was really low late in the game, and Bonnie's put their backups in, or called off the dogs a little bit. And then the turnovers cranked up, and they got exactly 13 turnovers, and Marquette had two blocks in the game. So they hit it exactly, 15. So despite the very lopsided loss, that was the first Take My Money to hit this season. So I was tempted to just make it win, just win on Sunday, but I think I should keep this gimmick going, Phil, where it's possible, if not likely, that I continue to miss and Marquette continues to win.
Yeah, so is it shaping up that you only pay out when Marquette loses? Like, that's the only way?
Yeah, I mean, looking like the way it might go, but I try to set the benchmarks as something that would be positive and would help the team win, right?
Right.
Like you would think, you know, shooting better 30% from three would be a positive. You would think. I think the Ole Miss game, it was the 32 deflections. They were low in their deflection that game. Didn't get it, but they didn't need it. They won. So, you brought up the offensive rebounding thing, Phil. Maybe this is an opportunity to boost Marquette's bad offensive rebounding number. Maybe should we go that way for Northern Illinois? What are your thoughts? Maybe which way should I go for the Northern Illinois game to keep it interesting?
Yeah, to keep it interesting. Well, given how many turnovers Northern Illinois gives up, right? Like they are averaging 23.5. I guess it's turnover percentage. So almost 24% of their possessions end in a turnover. That's nuts. And Marquette is turning people over on 21% of their possessions. I almost want to say, like, 30 turnovers? Can they hit 30 turnovers?
Would they still be pressing, though, if they're like up huge in the second half? That might be a tough number to hit.
Yeah. Yeah, 25?
How many turnovers did they force? Let me see how many turnovers they got in, like, say, Edwardsville, which was kind of in doubt for a while.
I think the most they've gotten is 26, I want to say.
See, I'd like to set it at a number that's reachable. So, like, Edwardsville had 24 turnovers. See, I think setting it at 25 turnovers is a little high.
Yeah, that's probably true.
What I'm thinking is, like, if their offensive rebounding percentage is better than their season average, it's Marquette's offensive rebounding percentage, which is pretty bad. It's almost 300th in the nation, is 23.1. They're only grabbing 23.1% of their offensive rebounds. So maybe if you can boost that up, and you know, Northern Illinois opponents are grabbing 34% of their offensive rebounds, which is not very good. That's worse than 300s in the nation, so defensively. So maybe if you can be better than 25%, which still isn't a great number of offensive rebounds pulled down, that's a number I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I like that number. What about, let's see, what if, you know, another one is Northern Illinois' defense is actually fairly decent at defending against the three-point shot at 28. They're giving up 28% made threes, and Marquette's shooting at about 33%. What if Marquette shoots better than 30% from three?
Better than 30%. See, that's a low bar, but I want to feel like I want to put it in something that they can hit.
I mean, they the last time you set it at 30%, they got 29.7%,
and they won. I'm going to set it at 32% from three. How about that? Just a little bit better.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
All right, 32% from three against Northern Illinois. So that'll be what the although, you know, think about some others, but so that's what it'll be. So if Marquette does better than 32% from three against Northern Illinois, yeah, because yeah, they do, their 3-point percentage defense is decent, so that's a good area to attack. So I like it. All right, 32% from three, that's the goal.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think else we want to touch on before we get out of here?
I think we should talk for about an hour. Yeah, I think we should just wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the week that was Marquette basketball and get ready for Northern Illinois on Saturday.
All right, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate you listening. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can also go to cracksidewalks.com. Post your comments there where we post the podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. If that's your thing, you could go there as well. Phil, want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And are you going to be going to that Northern Illinois game, or are you just going to be spending it with your family?
I think we're taking the family to the game.
Awesome. Well, that should be fun. So
yeah,
hopefully it's a packed house, and hopefully it's a comfortable win with lots of three-point shots.
Yeah, with lots of made three-point shots by Marquette. Please take Joe's money.
Yeah, take my money and win. We haven't had that yet. Take my money and win. That's
something new. That'd be new.
All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Seashells and Balloons.